The subject today surrounds three questions. That's what I wanted to deal with for a few minutes. Each of them start with the word what. I'll just mention them to you and then we'll read about them. Psalm 116, what shall I render unto the Lord, all of his benefits toward me? Micah chapter 6, what doth the Lord require of thee? Matthew chapter 8, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him? So if you have your Bible close to you, please, we're going to turn to Psalm 116, and we're going to read three verses there and move on. So Psalm 116. And we're going to start at verse number 12. 12, 13, 14. Notice Psalm 116, verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Answer, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of all his people. So that's the first reference. I want to deal for a few minutes, and this is at least an application, on these three questions. We'll read the others in a moment. Here's number one. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now, we've come almost to the end of 2020. It will soon be history in a few days' time if the Lord doesn't come. It might be a good time to just stop and assess our spiritual life and commitment the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the work of God, and to the assembly. And we hope that very soon, in different countries, our own included, we will gather to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have done so often. So, in order that it might help us to assess our spiritual situation, we've come to ask three questions. Here's a little of the background of Psalm 116. The author is not known. There's no reference that I can see of anyone who wrote the psalm. But the thoughts and the feelings of the psalmist as he went through maybe a severe illness or an danger of some kind, or even threatened with death, he got deliverance, as the early verses show. And in view of that, he asks the question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? The next question that I've indicated we're going to address is that Micah 6 passage, what does the Lord require of me? And I want to link that with service for the master. And then in the passage there in Matthew chapter 8 and the parallel passages, here the question is asked by disciples, what manner of man is this? And it has to do with the safety of his disciples. Now, whenever we come to Psalm 116, the first thing that comes to mind is, well, what would some of these benefits be to the psalmist and to the saints of this age when we make the application to us? Maybe the greatest benefit that one could ever obtain in this life is the salvation of our souls. And so we think of the salvation from sin's penalty. You know, quite a number of scriptures deal with that. For example, Romans chapter 4. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. What a benefit we enjoy today, the salvation of our souls. And another way of putting it, forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 1. In whom we have forgiveness through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. We're enjoying the living hope and the inheritance that lies before us in 1 Peter chapter 1. And then, of course, there is the great truth of preservation throughout the pathway of life. And he's the one that has sustained us and preserved us and kept us all these years. One of the greatest benefits that we enjoy is the volume of the Holy Scriptures of truth in our own mother tongue that we can read and study and meditate and ponder as the days move onward. You see, there's several scriptures that would speak to us about that. For example, Romans chapter 15. We might, through the comfort of the Holy Scriptures, have hope. So we have benefits that the ungodly all around us know nothing about. So I would like to suggest to you that the psalmist, whoever he was so overwhelmed with what God had done for him, he asked the question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I'm going to suggest three simple things lying right here on the surface. He says, I will take the cup of salvation. That's verse number 13. And it's the pronouns show that it's personal. So we can say, it's our privilege, but each of us can say, it's my privilege. We go back to a moment in life's experience when we passed from death unto life, learning our need, repenting of our sin, and trusting the finished work of Christ, and enjoying the truth of the substitute that took our place and finished the work that the Father gave him to do. Was for me. Yes, all for me, and so on. You know, this great salvation is presented in three ways in the Bible. Past, present, and future. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. We have been delivered from the penalty of our sin, from the very power of sin, and very soon from the very presence of sin. It's already been mentioned in worship here this morning. As far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, his person, fantastic to think about him. You know, he did no sin. He knew no sin. In him is no sin. Those are three of the great writers of the New Testament that unfolded for us the perfections, greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this next statement, I will call upon the name of the Lord. That's my prayer. And as you read it, verse 4, verse 13, verse 17, all say that we call upon the name of the Lord. And we do that in prayer. So, we think of a busy world that we're involved with, and others, because of restrictions of one kind and another, have likely more time in their hands than they've had in previous days. Yet we must admit that in many cases, we do not spend the time in prayer or even the spirit of prayer as the days and the hours of each day pass by. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for example. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. And so as we face the new year in the will of God, it would be a very healthy thing to ask ourselves right now, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Here's another one. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord, and he'll do it right now. That's the promise of the psalmist. And so it's the idea of making a commitment to the Lord. And here we are. As we look back over life, we have made professions of commitment of what we would do for the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's the individual, whether it's the family, whether it's the assembly, whether it's the secular world, whatever sphere we choose, we must admit now that we're living in a world where very few want to make a commitment that will stand the test of time. But the Lord expects us to make a commitment. And if we have already made that promise, we do desire help from God to continue in this great work for him. And so I thought of a verse of a hymn. Some of it was quoted already this morning. How sovereign, wonderful, and free has been his love to sinful me. He plucked me from the jaws of hell. My Jesus has done all things well. And in view of all that he has done and the deliverances he has granted us, well might we ask the question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Right, the next question is in the next passage, Micah chapter 6. We're mostly familiar with the book of Jonah, and it just follows that. Micah chapter 6. I want to read just two verses here from this chapter. We'll look at verse 7 and verse 8. Now, verse 7 is the voice of the people that Micah was writing to, the nation of Israel, whether it was Judah or the northern kingdom. He says here in verse 7, for example, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? The answer to that is no. Shall I give my firstborn for the transgression, for my transgression? No. The fruit of my body, the sin of my soul. God says no. But the voice of the prophet is now in contrast to that. He's really saying to them, this is what the Lord appreciates. And so in verse number 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee? Answer, what to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So what follows salvation? Service. Just like 2 Timothy, for example, chapter 2. Timothy was a son before he was a servant. And it's good to just remind our hearts what's expected of us in this life. And so here's a little of the background of this chapter. I understand that Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. And they had the same role in life, but their message was slightly different. And to a failing people, he's raised to bring the message. And in this very chapter, there's different voices. I've just referred to two of them. So he's saying now, The nation has failed. They have grieved the God of heaven. They have disobeyed his commandments and been disobedient in many facets of life. And so he's saying now, I want to bring a message to you in your day and generation, and we make the application to us. Well, what doth the Lord require of thee? That's the question, and then the answer in three parts: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And let's just make a simple observation or two here. This would be the message for the morning, but I just want to give the summary. So we want to ask ourselves now three parts to the question, I would suggest. The first word in this question is what? It starts abruptly, and it gets, I take it, the attention of those that are reading, the first readers of the prophecy. Because the Lord, that's the person of the question. He has total authority. Require of me, I know the word is thee, but we make it personal. Require of me the demands of the question. That's the response that we have today as the question is put to us. And we often point out the answer has three parts. If your Bible's open, let me point them out to you. Number one, to do justly. That implies conduct, behavior, and that has to do with me, the individual. The next part of the answer, love mercy. That implies compassion. To do to others, and how we interact with others in compassion. And then the last part of the answer, walk humbly with thy God. That implies contrition, humility, and it has to do with the God that we serve. You know, it's just the same idea as Philippians chapter 2, for example. There's others, and there's the Lord, and there's me. Most in the world put me first, another second, and God last. Well, the order is, it's God first, it's others second, and me last. That's a very hard lesson to learn, and it's easy to talk about. So an application, for example, we can apply these spheres to our own lives, the personal life that we live. How is my devotion to the Lord Jesus in my personal life? And then in my private life, in the circle where I move, how is my behavior? How do I behave in the circle of friends that know us, employers, the assembly, family, or whatever? And then, of course, the public life. And this has to do with attitude. I have noticed of recent times, since this pandemic has come across our countries, that people have changed their attitude. And that includes believers and unbelievers. And so we apply this to our own individual lives, and then to our family life, and to the assembly life, and to the secular life that we live wherever we are caused to move for him. I'll quote you one verse of a hymn that maybe summarizes what the Lord requires from each one of us and how we should respond. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still. And to all, who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus today but to trust and obey. Looking back over this year, maybe we haven't risen to that standard. Maybe we have. But if you have, you certainly have enjoyed a little of the Lord's presence as onward we go. And just bring the same thing through to the year that's ahead in the will of God, 2021, with all that it will surely bring. So here's the first question, Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Just link that with salvation. I know there's other ways, but just for our morning session today. And then what follows? What does the Lord require of me for service? And then I want to turn now to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. We're going to read at verse number 23. And this is another question, as we will see in a moment. So please look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. And of course, there are other parallel passages, but we'll just stick here with this one this morning. Verse number 23 is the first part of this section, of this chapter. Verse 23, Matthew chapter 8. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. What happened next? And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, and he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Notice how the Lord addresses that. He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled and said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? You see, there's our third question. What manner of man is this? Now, we want to just address some simple ideas here in this particular incident. I want to just link this with the thought of safety, preservation being kept. We want to pause a moment and we want to think of the devastation and the sorrow that this world has been plunged into more than ever through this pandemic that has reached every country of the world. I understand that now in the US, for example, there are over 300,000 have been taken, older, middle-aged, and younger. And there might even be more that haven't been counted. You think of the devastation that has come into our generation. It's absolutely unique. I've been talking to people in different parts of the world, some believers, some unbelievers, and they're absolutely devastated, and they wonder what it's all about. So we want to bring that to our situation. And as we look back, and as we anticipate the future, think of God's kindness to each one of us. Here we are this morning, for example, and as far as we know, none of us have got the virus. It's a real miracle that God has preserved us to this point. So that brings me to think about this question. Very quickly, Matthew's account, he was in the ship or in the vessel that day, and the Lord asked them to follow him. The Mark parallel passage says, the Lord told them, let us go over onto the other side. You see, divine purpose here. God, the Lord was leading his disciples. It was a command from the Lord. They didn't know what was ahead. The Lord obviously knew, but he wanted to teach them lessons in this incident. So without getting into all of the details, on board that night were at least two sets of brothers, four men that were commercial fishermen. They were born and raised on the shores of Galilee, of the Sea of Galilee and Galilee of the nations. They knew all about it. They had been through storms that would come up instantly. But on this occasion, I take it that the old devil, under the permissive will of God, was behind this storm. He could see the Lord Jesus Christ on the vessel. And some had thought that he saw his opportunity to bring the vessel to the bottom of the lake. But the Lord was on board. And it's very like what we sing with younger friends sometime. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. There's no way the vessel would ever have gone to the bottom. The Lord Jesus Christ was on board. But you see, his disciples were fearful. In fact, were in a crisis situation. They had a dilemma that they never saw before, even though commercial fishermen were there. And so we want to think of this question that they made and the circumstances that rose for them to ask the question. And here we see right away the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That statement, what manner of, that is a person, a man from another country, one who came to our world and came from eternity, and no one ever has done this before. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Fantastic. They learned of his perfections in other times, but here as well. You see, they found out he's sinless, he's stainless, he's spotless, he's absolutely perfect. And as has already been pointed out, he knew no sin, he did no sin, in him is no sin. And we try to quote that right. Some of our dear brethren quote it wrong. So it tells us something of perfection that were in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they learn about his power. Must have been a tremendous moment when they wake him and he stands up on that vessel. Before he addresses the storm, he addresses the disciples, O ye of little faith. And he rebuked them in a sense. But when it was all over, they watched him stand on that vessel and rebuke the elements. And instantly, there was a great calm. And here is their response. He says, what they say, what manner of man is this? Even the sea and the waves obey him. Well, he's the creator of the universe. You know, John 1, he was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He's an outstanding person. And I can tell you that whenever they come out of this experience, they likely never forgot it. And we can link different scriptures with that, and I'm just going to read you one that I was thinking about that was appropriate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, you see, the Corinthians are saying to Paul, Paul, you don't know anything about the circumstances that we have been through. We are in a unique situation, and making an excuse of how they had gone astray and so on. Well, here's his answer to that. Verse 13. There hath no trial taken you but such as is common to man. Others have been through the same. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tried above that you are able to bear, but will with the trial also make way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, that's again a message on its own, but I have just listened to the testimony of some dear folk, oh men, and what they have been through since the lockdown started in March this year. It is absolutely astounding. You say to yourself, I wonder how a human anatomy and mind could stand some of the things that these people have gone through, and they're still living proof. And these are believers, of course, I'm talking about. They have proved the Lord in a very unique way. So we can learn from the trials of life. The Lord allows them. He brings them into our experience. And in 1 Corinthians 10, as we have read, he upholds us when we're in the trial, whatever it may be. And in his good time and purpose, he brings us out of the trial. Now, I have heard people even yesterday asking me, now, the devil bring us into this trial of the COVID-19. I would doubt it. I don't know what you think. But God has allowed it. And he has upheld us in it to this point. And in his good time and will, whenever that may be, we don't know, he will bring us out of it. And as we look back over life, and even those who have proved in some measure his delivering hand, we can honestly say, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? No wonder, as has been said, no mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that fill the heavenly train. So as we move into the new year, with all the things that it will surely bring, like for example, we stood at the 1st of January of 2020, and none of us had even the faintest clue of what was going to happen with this old COVID-19. I tell you, just bring the same thing, that if the Lord doesn't come, we don't know what 2021 will bring. But we can put our hand in the Lord's hand and with confidence go on. And before we do that, make assessment for all of us and ask the three questions. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me, commencing with salvation? What doth the Lord require of me? He requires in our service that we obey him in every facet of life. And when we look back over life, we think of the next question. What manner of man is this? As he has delivered us from every evil work to this point, and will do so until the last step is taken. So we thank God for being safe. Safely camp until the last step is taken. We've said enough. Thank you for listening. Trust the Lord will bless you, each one, and all that we represent, and the great country of the land of Maple Leaf, and all others, where there are assemblies gathered to his precious name, that will all be preserved till Jesus comes. Thank you very much.